The Copywriter Club podcast is sponsored by AirStory, the writing platform for professional writers who want to get more done in half the time. Learn more at airstory.co/club.
What if you could hang out with seriously talented copywriters and other experts, ask them about their successes and failures, their work processes, and their habits, then steal an idea or two to inspire your own work? That's what Kira and I do every week at the Copywriter Club podcast.
You're invited to join the club for episode 31 as we chat with copywriter, SEO expert, and misfit entrepreneur Kate Toon about creating three successful businesses without a plan, SEO copywriting, running a podcast and writing conference, and how to rock a hula hoop.
Hey, Kira. Hey, Kate.
Hello.
Hey, Rob. Hey, Kate. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for that lovely intro.
We try to change it up with every guest, and you've called yourself the misfit entrepreneur, so we thought, it was appropriate.
Thanks, yeah. And you'd managed to drop the hula hooping in as well, which is awesome.
Exactly.
Well, Kate, I think a great place to start is with how you became an SEO copywriter consultant. And then we can talk about your job as a chat line operator later.
Yeah, so I, probably went a fairly traditional route. I'm not sure. Everybody's route to copywriting is so different, isn't it? So I went to university and did utterly pointless degree in history, Roman history or something like that. Can't remember. And then I left and I desperately wanted to be a magazine journalist, but I had racked up so much debt at university that I had to get a real job as a pretty much a secretary. And then I worked in various jobs, in events, in publishing, and eventually got hired by this weird agency that was building something called websites way back. I'm showing my age now. And I worked there for a few years. And then I moved over to Australia and managed to get a job at Ogilvy, which is a big advertising agency in America. And also there is over here in Australia as well. And from there, I transitioned into being a copywriter and worked on lots of big brands, global brands, and kind of hated it. Kind of didn't like the agency life. As I got older, it got harder. Then eventually I got with child and could no longer be an agency copywriter because you have to work like 70 hours a day. So I gave it all up and became a freelance copywriter. Woohoo! That was a potted history.
Let's unpack that just a little bit. We talk quite a bit with copywriters who are doing freelance stuff, but we haven't talked to a whole lot of agency copywriters. Tell us about working in an agency and maybe even what it takes for a copywriter to get a job at an agency.
Look, I don't think it's easy. I think my route was very indirect. You know, when I first started out, that was, you know, I was like, wow, I'd love to work for an advertising agency. And I did get a job in an agency in London, again, as a receptionist. So I had to go in as kind of like a non-creative person. But if you've seen Mad Men, you'll know it's not everybody gets to move from reception to being a copywriter.
Only the best.
I was literally that character. I've forgotten her name now. But so, and then I left. And then with Ogilvy, I just was in the right place at the right time. Australia was a little bit behind the eight ball with digital and advertising. And my little experience counted a lot. So I kind of got in at the ground level, but again, as a producer. So I was actually managing projects. And then after a couple of years, I actually took about a 60% pay cut to be a copywriter, because that's what I really wanted to do. So they took 60% off my salary. Nice. And I started as a junior copywriter and kind of started working up. If you're straight out of college, I mean, gosh, it's hard. It's super competitive. In Australia, there are a few kind of like awards and schools that you can go through to get in. I think there's a huge amount of nepotism. I don't know. I actually wouldn't be able to give anybody any tips because I think the problem is all your creative ideas. Everyone else has got those creative ideas because they're all creative people. So, you know, maybe a sideways route would be my suggestion. You know, get in there, get into the agency, whatever way you can, and then show your skills, because obviously there's lots of opportunities once you're in there to kind of shine if you take them.
What did you learn from the agency life at such a well-known agency, especially in your different roles as a producer and then a copywriter? What did you learn that really helped give you an edge in your freelance business?
Lots of things. I think as a producer, you know, I learned how to project manage, which is a huge part of copywriting, really underestimated. You know, being able to work out timelines, work out budgets, manage multiple projects, keep projects moving so there's no dead time, so you can manage, you know, multiple projects and keep them all working for you, which is super important if you're a copywriter and you want to earn a decent living. You know, you need to be able to have lots of jobs on the go. I learned to deal with lots of egos. Lots of people in agencies have enormous egos, and so it teaches you a lot of diplomacy, which I think is really useful when dealing with clients. And then as a copywriter, I think, you know, I used to write an awful lot of ad campaigns and taglines and, you know, one-liners for animated GIFs. Remember, animated GIFs were all the rage back then, you know, and coming up with really simple metaphors for describing things and patterns and systems and methodologies so that you're never really starting with a blank page. It's all about starting with some kind of template or structure and filling in the blanks. And what you end up with isn't perfect, but it gives you something to start working with. So I think a lot of people might think that agency copywriters, you know, sit around on beanbags having epiphanies. They don't. They're just like you. They work with formulas. They look at old ads. They look at old campaigns. They do brainstorm, which is, I think, something that we poor lonely freelancers don't get to do. But a lot of it is quite formulaic, you know.
Well, I was just going to ask you what type of methodologies they typically use at ad agencies, because I love that idea of you're never really starting with a blank page. Do you recall any of the processes or any tips that could help the lonely freelancer who does not have a team to brainstorm with?
Yeah, so I mean, the process would usually be, you know, you'd go and take your briefing with the dreaded account managers and the clients, and then you'd go away, and there'd always be a period of like sort of self-reflection where you'd sit at your own desk and kind of try and pull something out of your bottom, which was usually not particularly fruitful. Then the next thing would be that you were often partnered with a designer, so it was, or an art director, so it was always a copywriter, art director, because a lot of what we were doing was adverts and ads, but also even long copy, you know, it can be influenced by design, but also just another creative mind. So then you would sit and you would just kind of say stupid things to each other, like come up with ideas like, what about we use a pig, or what about we have a hedgehog? Well, I don't like hedgehogs. And no idea was a bad idea. You just write everything down. But then in terms of cheats, as it were, and just remembering my old creative director would say, you know, like, there's lots of easy ways to do ads, like, you know, think of metaphors, like road sign metaphors, and, you know, we see this done to death, like stop sign, you know, or give way, you know, using those in your ad copy, or just thinking of an overarching concept and a metaphor. So, you know, you're writing about, I don't know, dentistry, but you're going to do the whole thing relating it to ice cream. This is a terrible analogy. I should have prepped a better one. You know, so you're going to talk about, you're just going to use one overarching concept or idea for the whole thing, and that will give you your concept. So here's a better example. A copywriter I'm working with is coming up with a new way of branding herself, and she's going to use a kind of makeover metaphor, like a plastic surgery metaphor. So she's, you know, slicing and dicing copy. And once you have that metaphor, you can just brainstorm a huge swipe file of words that relate to makeovers, nouns, adjectives, and then you can start working through your copy, not to the point where it becomes overdone and cheesy, but it gives you a frame of reference.
So Kate, let's fast forward to your freelancer now. What is different about how you work today, or as a freelance writer? Because I know you've got some other businesses as well, but as a freelance writer, what do you do differently that you weren't doing in the agency? How's your job changed?
Well, it's just a whole lot harder. I mean, at the agency, you turn up and you sit there and all you do is write copy. And that can be challenging because obviously some days there are no ideas, but you are expected to pump them out. But as a freelance copywriter, you're really a business person. So it's all the other things. It's, you know, managing your finances and doing your tax return and marketing yourself and dealing with customers and doing project timelines and project management. All those things are your responsibility as well. And so, you know, having to sell your services as well as do your job, I think, is the biggest difference.
And at what point did you decide that you know, writing wasn't enough, that you wanted to add things like courses and copy school and SEO, all of the various businesses that you've built since.
Yeah, I think it was a kind of natural evolution. You know, you sort of notice the sort of projects that you get more of, the sort of projects that you do best at and get the best feedback for, and the things you enjoy the most. And also what there's more demand for, what other people aren't doing. So, you know, with the SEO copywriting, you know, lots of people talk the talk, but they can't really walk the walk. Or you know, they have a very light knowledge and, you know, learn a little bit about keywords and that's about it. So I saw there was an opportunity to kind of go deeper and not be, you know, an evil SEO person, but be kind of halfway between a copywriter and an SEO person. So that was an evolution. And then with the copywriting school, I think I know a lot of copywriters. I've always worked hard to build up my network of competitors and make them into friends. And people would be like, oh, you know, I really wish there was, does anyone done a press release? Does anyone have a template for press release? And I do have all these templates because, you know, I built them all when I started because it made life easier for me. So, you know, sharing those became a natural thing. And then I thought, hey, you know, maybe I could make a bit of passive income with these. And then, hey, maybe I could teach people how to do this themselves. And yeah, it's just been a natural progression, really. There was no kind of lightning rod moment. It just all kind of happened organically.
Kate, I know we want to go into the Clever Copywriting School and your other courses and everything, but I want to know what the breakdown is today as far as where you're spending your time. I know you do a lot, and even just checking out your YouTube channel, I was like, oh my goodness, you do so much and you're really out there. I want to know where you're spending most of your time today. I think that would just help give us some background.
Yeah, I think it's changed a lot in the last year. So if you'd asked me this question last year, it was about 70% one-on-one clients, like copywriting clients.
Oh, okay.
And then about 30% everything else. And now it's probably flipped over. So it's about 80, 90% the courses, the passive income, which is not really passive at all, and the ongoing marketing that goes with that, and about 10% clients. So it really has changed dramatically. There was a hideous period where I was trying to do all the things and have ongoing copywriting clients, and I really did kind of work myself into the ground, and it wasn't a fun time. But it's that kind of thing where I had to go through that period, because I'm not somebody who can't not have income. That sounds odd, but do you know what I mean? I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, I don't have rich parents or rich husbands, you know, so I needed to keep the income coming in while I grew the other thing, and that meant a lot of sacrifices, and it was tough. Now I'm kind of trying to wind back a little bit, and I'm actually trying to get back a bit more to copywriting and trying to keep my hand in, because I think it's very quickly you forget the kind of concerns and insights and issues that copywriters have. And I can't serve my copywriting customers, my actual copywriters, if I don't understand where their hearts lie. Do you know what I mean? So I want to keep my hand in with that as well. But yeah, about 80%, 20%, if that makes sense.
So there's an obvious question here about how you balance it all. You know, how do you make it work as mom and an entrepreneur, and you've written a book and you've created courses? How do you do it all?
Look, I would love to say that it's easy and that I just spend 5 hours a day and it's all really chill. But the truth is it has been stressful, and at times, you know, other things that should be a priority aren't, like looking after yourself and being healthy and having a life and friends and going to the movies, stuff like that. So, you know, I've had, like, honestly, and it's odd that we're having this podcast today, because this week has been an epiphany week for me. It's been a struggle, and, you know, I do have a little boy, and I do always make time for him, so I'm there at school pickup and drop off, and I don't work at the weekends, but I cram a lot in. And I think that is the thing. I do not fanny about. I hope I can say fanny. It means something different in your world, I think. But I do not mess about. You know, I use the Pomodoro technique. So I do work in 25-minute blurts. I'm very rigid. You know, I make my list and I get everything done on the list. You know, I prod myself with a stick to finish stuff. And I do that most days. Maybe Fridays I'm a little bit easier on myself. But the other days I work really hard. And I know that sounds really obvious, but I do see a lot of copywriters going, oh, you know, it's not really happening, I'm not getting many clients. And I'm like, well, what are you doing? You know, what did you do this week to market yourself or to get yourself out there? Well, I posted a thing on Facebook. And it's like, no, it's not enough. You know, if you put that little effort in, then you'll get the results that you expect. So it's just hard work, organization, and beating myself with a stick. I think that's pretty much it.
Okay, so I like to focus on the breakdown because I feel like I can relate to what you're saying, and I'm in kind of that challenging part where you're trying to move into this new revenue channels and creating. But then I'm also juggling a lot of client work, and I know a lot of copywriters are in that space where it's tough. So you said you were in it, you were juggling, and then I forget your wording, but it was not a pleasant time. How did you pull yourself out of it? I think that's the hard part, because how long do we need to be in this hard time before we can pull ourselves out?
Yeah, look, it is hard. And I think that there does come a point where you have to say, look, this month or this couple of months, I have to accept that I'm not going to earn my regular salary. Maybe this month I'm going to be happy to earn a bit less so I can just fully focus on my projects. You know, I'm going to have to let some of my clients go. And one obvious thing there is that you can always refer your clients to other copywriters and take maybe a small referral fee. You know, you've done all the marketing to win that client, you've worked with them, and you're handing them off. The other copywriter will be more than happy to pay a small referral fee, which then becomes a source of passive income for you as well. I made a lot of different things. So I made some small things which sell every day. So it's a little bit of income, like small templates and mini courses that aren't huge money, but it's a little bit of trickle money every day while I focused on my huge monster, which is the money maker, the big beast. And again, that was a slow burn as well. You know, I didn't make millions. You know, all these people who say, oh, I had a seven-figure e-course launch today. And, you know, there's no proof of it, and there's no breakdown of profit versus, revenue. Don't believe the hype, you know, that it is hard. And I think you have to get to the point where you maybe you're making $100,000 as a copywriter, and maybe you have to take a period where you're only going to make $50,000 for a year as an entrepreneur. Gosh, I love that word. In the hope that you will get back up again to the $100,000. But I would also say, and this is my cautionary tale, just because this whole passive income thing looks great and it looks like, wow, wouldn't it be awesome to be selling things and having courses, I'm not sure it's any better than just being a regular copywriter with great clients who like what you do. I'm not sure it's better. I think it's just different, you know?
Yeah, can we dig into that a little bit more? You know, you mentioned earlier that passive income isn't really passive. We've talked to a few people who have built courses or were in the process of building courses, and I can imagine that there's a lot of work that goes into the front end, but once the course is done, there's got to be a lot of work that goes into, constantly promoting and launching and relaunching. And tell us about that whole experience for you, and even if you would, how the money flow has changed from the beginning as you've sort of grown your courses business.
With the Clever Copywriting School, so I set up that years ago, but I didn't really do anything with it. I imagined at first it would be like a commune and copywriters would all contribute, but no one else ever did anything, so it kind of didn't evolve. And I just put some templates up in the shop and they sold if they sold. That was always my attitude with the Clever Copywriting School. It was like, I'm not going to put huge amounts of energy in. Anything that comes out of that is a bonus. And that is kind of pure passive income, because I make a template, I make it really great, and then I sell it. And it doesn't really ever need to change, you know, because press releases aren't going to change much, you know, in the next 10 years. Press release is a press release. That is the real passive income. Now with Clever Copywriting School, there's a membership where you can join and part of a community. And that, you know, it's really cheap because copywriters don't have any money. You know, obviously what you need to do to make that membership work is you need to be in there every day, providing advice, giving tips, sharing articles, not for 8 hours, but you know, you need to be involved. And if you're not, it shows, it really shows. You know, I'm sure you've been part of membership communities where you never see hide nor hair of the person who actually lured you in, you know, and it's quite clear it's some, you know, 21-year-old social media marketing manager who's just doing everything, not the person.
Yeah,
and that's just not my vibe at all. I do like it to be me. So, you know, that again, it's a lot of effort. But with those guys, if I make something, they'll pretty much be happy to buy it. It's just I don't have time to make enough stuff for them. With the big course, the Recipe for SEO Success, that is a beast. And looking back, everyone said to me, don't do an SEO course because it changes all the time. So, you know, if you write a copywriting essentials course, how to use commas, it's never going to change. We're always going to use commas in a similar way. But SEO changes all the time. So every year I have to update all the materials to make sure that they're in line with current trends because it's a living, breathing beast. And I also offer coaching with that course while it runs. And as you said, I have to launch it, which is quite draining. And with financially, you know, so, you know, the copywriting school, you know, it's still a small percentage of my income. It's never going to set the world on fire. With the recipe course, you know, the first year I hit my six figures, which is in Australian terms is like $100,000. I'm not sure what that is in American money. But obviously there was expense and who knows how much time I invested in building it. Now, obviously, it's a lot less. I do update the materials. I'm an over-updater. Like, I care too much. So, like, people are like, it's fine. Leave it. Step away. And I'm like, I'm just gonna change every graphic in the site to this slightly different shade of red, you know? And they're like, Kate, step away. You know, I'm my own worst enemy. But yeah, all passive income, unless it literally is something like a book, which you write and then it sells. But as you said, it's you've got to keep your name out there. You've got to keep going, hi, remember me, I wrote the book. And, you know, you do that through podcasts and Facebook and videos and blah, 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 blah. It's a lot. So, yeah. That's why I've done it all. It's all done. It's all out there. I'm winding back a little bit just because I don't want to keep working at this level anymore. I want to go back to being chill. And let me say, I do not work like 80-hour weeks. It's just I would like to only work 4 days a week, you know, because I want to, you know, learn to paddleboard and cook and things like that, you know. So it's all about lifestyle choice and age and stuff like that as well, I think. What do you think, guys? I mean, do you
I'm just listening to you. I'm like, oh, that sounds so nice. Having a life and cooking and having friends. Whoa.
People that sounds... do that, apparently. I don't know.
I have had that thought recently of just, I think I have been really focused on go, 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 like all of us. And yeah. We're all like, you know, competitive, ambitious people. And I think I'm coming out of that stage. At least I have been recently where I'm like, you know, it might be nice to actually go to yoga or have a life or go to a girls' night and hang out with my friends who I haven't seen in forever. And so I think there's this change and you're talking about the same thing. That's why I was just sitting here like, oh my goodness, I don't even know if this is a question. I think I just want you to be my coach and tell me what to do with my life. But like, how do we, can we make this transition and have a life? Do we have to sacrifice our life in order to build the membership and build the course and have, like, is there a way to do this?
I mean, look, I think unless, I honestly don't think there is. That's right. Oh, no. I think, especially if you have small children as well. I mean, yes. Look, if I'd done all of this when I was 25, it would be a different story, but I was an idiot when I was 25. I wouldn't have even, I was, you know, worried about boys and what outfit I was going to wear and drinking. And, you know, I didn't have the confidence or the intelligence to do what I do now. But obviously now I'm tired. I've got lots of responsibilities. I think a lot of it is kind of going, like, you can't keep up with the Joneses. You know, I compare myself with the most ridiculous people. Like, I compare myself with Rand Fishkin and go, well, Rand Fishkin makes a video every Friday. And it's like, Rand Fishkin is a billionaire. He has a team of hundreds of people working for him. He just turns up with his moustache wax and makes that video. He doesn't edit it. He doesn't put it on YouTube. He doesn't write the copy. He doesn't do the, you know, you guys know, putting a podcast together, people are like, oh, a podcast would be great. And then you do one and you're like, it is so much work. You know, scheduling the guests, editing the audio, putting it up, putting the graphics, making little video. Oh, you know, so I think comparison is really important. So comparing yourself with the right people. And also, you know, I used to schedule my calendar around all the work things I had to do. And, you know, I had little different colours for every different thing in my calendar. Like, this is podcast time. This is this time. Now what I do is I take all my work stuff out and I schedule all the things I want to do in my calendar.
No way.
Really? Yeah. So, I, you know, obviously if I've got like an actual appointment, I'll put it in. But I used to schedule like work zones to try and get stuff done. Now I'm like, this is family time. This is when I'm going here. This is when I'm going to finish early and have a massage. Now, I'm not there yet. I only used to work 3 days a week. Then my son went to school. Now I work 5 days a week, but short days. And I want to get back to working 4 days a week. So I'm moving towards a 9-day fortnight. Listen to me. It's awful, but because I push myself, like, sounds like you're the same. You know, I want to do all the things. I enjoy it. I love it. And you get into a little bubble where you think it's all really important and it all really matters. And then you go out and you talk to someone who's like a nurse or a teacher, and they have no idea what Hootsuite is or Zencast or, you know, and they just think what you're doing is interesting, but not that interesting. And you're like, wow, this is all, what am I doing? So I think you just have those aha moments, and the aha moments come thicker and faster. And then you finally have the point where you go, this is enough. This is all I can do. And that has to be enough for me.
Enough talk about how hard copywriting is. Let's talk about something easy. SEO.
Yes.
Shall we? Yeah, of course. So, Kate, you're obviously an expert at SEO. If I try to find the best copywriter in Australia, I believe your name comes up at the top of the list. What should copywriters know about writing for SEO, and what can we do? You know, what can I do if I want to be the best copywriter in America? At least I want that to come up on top of Google. What things should I be doing in order to do that, besides taking your course?
Of course, take my course. That's the main priority. That's my only advice. Now, I think you need to move away from just thinking about SEO copywriting as copywriting, because there's a lot more at play. And, you know, clients will come to you and say, hey, we want some great SEO copy for our site. And, you know, maybe you know a little bit about keyword research and a little bit about, you know, writing SEO friendly copy. But if their site is technically flawed, you can write all the copy that you want and it will have no impact on their ranking. So I think you have to embrace a bit of the technical stuff. You need to understand, you know, things about speed and responsiveness, crawlability. You know, you have to educate yourself on that so you can educate your clients. There's obviously huge amounts of resources out there, and that can be overwhelming. And I think that can actually stop people from learning. So I think it's really about finding one or two sources of truth and only reading their articles, because otherwise it's just too much to read. So I've mentioned Rand Fishkin, who's kind of the spokesperson from Moz. So I follow him. Another guy, Neil Patel, who runs a website called Quick Sprout. His posts are horrifically long, so I kind of skim read them and just try and pick up one or two things. So I think it's just educating, like putting aside a little time a week to sort of spend an hour learning about SEO copywriting. And in answer to your question about how to rank for best copywriter in America, you know what? It's so simple. You literally just use the words best copywriter in Australia. And you'd be surprised how few copywriters have actually used those. Now they'll all be using them. And that's my problem.
Yeah, I've just given away your secret.
Well, this is it. And I give away all my secrets. I've got about 150 copywriters who've done my SEO course, and they're now starting to outrank me. Yesterday, one of my students outranked me for legal copywriter, just the phrase legal copywriter in Australia, which I've always had. I'm not actually that good of a legal copywriter, but, you know, it was mine. And I actually don't care, because I was so pleased that she'd taken the information from the course and used it and outranked me. You know, you just need to think about user intent, think about what people want, go beyond the obvious. Someone might type in copywriter Cincinnati, but really the conversion, the money comes from phrases like financial services writer in Ipswich. Do you know what I mean? It's the long tail phrases. That person is so far down the conversion path. They know exactly what they want. When they reach your page, give them what they want, they'll convert. And you only need one or two of those a month to maybe hit your financial goals, you know? So think of it quite coldly and scientifically. Think about user intent, and then really make sure that, you know, when they get to your services pages on your site, the content there is great. It's not just generic, I am a legal copywriter and I write legal copy. It's like, legal copywriter needs to be this, 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 and this. And some of the things that issues that you might have are this and this, and this is how I can help, and this is the advantage I'm going to give you, and here's a testimonial, and here's a video, and here are three samples. That's a good services page. You know, I see so many copywriter websites where you could change the logo at the top of the page and it could be anybody's website. So I think you've really got to dig a bit deeper.
I think I need your course. As you're saying all this, I'm like, I need to brush up on SEO. It's not my strong suit, but clearly we need to be aware of it and know about it. So I'm going to pivot again. Like we said, you're in a lot of places. You have your podcast, you have a YouTube channel, you have social media channels, you speak on the stage, you run conferences, you've pursued multiple marketing channels. And so from your perspective right now, where do you see the opportunity for copywriters to really show up? You know, is there one or two channels that works really well for copywriters today?
Look, I still think guest posting on other websites, like business websites and, you know, magazines and digital magazines is a great place to show your writing skills. You know, I've had a lot of clients come from relationships where I've tried, you know, so if you can become a columnist or a regular contributor to something in your, either in your local area or something a bit more larger scale, I do think that really helps because obviously you're showing what you do. The other thing I think, and does not sit well with many of the copywriters in my group, they all go, is, you know, video, because obviously a lot of us copywriters are quite introverted and we don't necessarily like showing our face or being on camera or being out there, because that's one of the reasons we became a copywriter, so we could hide in our pajamas behind our computer. But, you know, a couple of well-produced videos just talking, you know, introducing who you are, explaining your services, really just help people connect with you, because you're really just, there are millions of copywriters, and it's fine because there are millions of copywriting jobs, but you just need to differentiate yourself a little bit. And I'm not talking about necessarily niching, like being the only copywriter that writes about organic soup, but I mean, just why do I want to work with you rather than this other person? And I think people choose, as copywriting is a very intimate relationship, so they do want to like you, they do want to feel understood and reassured and comfortable with you, and video is a great way of starting that relationship. Because I think, you know, a lot of copywriting courses and books and whatever talk so much about, you know, where to put your colon and how to write great conversion copywriting. It's all important, don't get me wrong. But the reason I've been successful is not because of that. It's because I form great relationships with my clients. I'm actually rubbish at grammar and I don't know much about conversion copywriting, but I do know about building good relationships. And video, I think, is a great way of starting that.
Kate, a lot of what you do is teaching. You run a podcast, much like ours. We before the show, we were calling it our second favorite copywriting podcast. Yeah. I think you just completed a writing conference. Talk to us a little bit about how you see your role there. Is it really all about teaching, or is this also about growing your influence? Like, what is it that makes you want to get into these other businesses?
Honestly, it's just random spur of the moment, late night ideas. I'm terrible for that. So I will go out there and say, hey, why don't I do a copywriting conference? And everyone will go, yeah, let's do it, make it happen. And then I'm like, oh God, now I actually really have to do it. So I'm really trying to not do that anymore, like not promise things, because I am somebody who feels I have to then follow through on the promise. So the copywriting conference was literally like, that'd be fun, wouldn't it? I'd like to do that. I didn't have a big wedding, so maybe this could be like planning my big wedding and then I could have a venue and lots of But no, I mean, my courses and my teaching, you know, they're not focused so much on the art of copywriting. They're much more focused on the business side and on the confidence and the, you know, the more abstract parts of being a copywriter, relationship building, pricing, all that kind of stuff. The conference has been a huge amount of work, and I'm not necessarily saying I'll ever do it again. You know, it's an interesting experiment. I may do it again. I think for a long time it has been about building up my authority and my influence. Why did I do that? Probably just to tickle my ego, maybe a little bit. We all have one. But I do enjoy helping people as well. And, you know, as I become more well-known where I am, you see the challenges of that as well. It's not all great. A lot of it is lovely. I mean, a day doesn't go past where I don't get an email from someone saying, thank you for this or thank you for that. And that's amazing.
Kate, I was actually going to ask you, this is sort of a cliche question, but I love this question. If you could go back to the beginning of your freelance copywriting career, not necessarily the ad agency career, you know, what advice would you give yourself at this point?
I would give myself the advice not to live next door to somebody with crazy dogs, which I hope you can't hear in the background.
It's okay.
Sorry about that. It's all real, people. This is all real. I think it would definitely be not to compare myself to others. If there's one thing that has kind of scuppered me along the way, it's been that comparison trap of, you know, picking somebody who's at the top of the Google rankings, who's been doing it for 10 years and going, I'm not as good as them. And it's like, of course you're blooming not, you know, what are you talking about? That's been taking me a long time to learn that lesson. I'm still learning that lesson. So I think, you know, you're starting out, just build slowly. Don't compare yourself to everyone else. Yes, befriend other copywriters, but, you know, it's very Oprah Winfrey, but, you know, run your own race, put your blinkers on, focus on servicing your clients and doing the best job you can. And it will all evolve naturally if you just work hard and get yourself out there a little bit. You don't need to be standing up on stage after 1 week. Just, it will all evolve, you know, take your time.
Kate, you mentioned taking a step back this year, trying to be present, I guess, in the choices that you make and the things that you do. What do you do to recharge your batteries and improve your skill set?
At the moment, I just watch Netflix, which is not enough, so I need to do that. So I've been watching Crazy Ex-Girlfriend a lot again, even though I've already watched it. I do kind of really mundane stuff, like I like to garden, I like to cook, I like to walk my dog on the beach. We live quite close to the beach. I like to do stuff with my son. So just normal, you know, human-y things I want to do more of. And that really does recharge me. I want to read more. I listen to a lot of podcasts, but I don't listen to business podcasts because they get my brain ticking and that's the last thing I want. So I love This American Life. I'm having an imaginary affair with Ira Glass. I love his voice. You know, I listen to a lot of those and a lot of British comedy podcasts as well. And in terms of improving my learning, you know what? I'm at the point now where for the next year, I actually don't want to learn anything new. That sounds really bad. I just want to let everything I know in me sort of settle a bit, because I feel sometimes we're so busy consuming new information that we're not actually, I want to feel more comfortable with what I already know. You know, I don't want to be an expert at this latest social media platform or learn this new technique. I want to be better at the things I already know. So I'm having a year off reading blog posts and articles and ebooks, and I just want to relax for the next year and just keep on keeping on and not build anything new.
Oh, Kate, I feel like I really needed to be a part of this interview just to hear you to talk about this phase and this change and how it's okay and this is great and this is a natural transition for you. And so before we wrap, I would like to ask you about your hula hooping expertise, because that's something that's quite intriguing. I'd like to see you hula hoop sometime soon.
It would not be pretty. Honestly, that was just a silly thing that I was trying to do my LinkedIn profile, and everyone had three things. It was like, I'm an entrepreneur, this, and a hedge fund manager. It was always three things, you know, the power of three. We know that that is a powerful thing in copywriting. So I was like, I'm a copywriter, an SEO lover, and I just couldn't think of anything. So I just wrote hula hooper. And since then it has dogged me, because I'm actually a terrible hula hooper. Up. And people, I had somebody from the Sydney Morning Herald, which is a big newspaper over here, contact me because they were doing a feature on hula hoopers. And did I want to be in the feature? And I had to admit that I actually can't hula hoop, and it was all a lie. So don't believe everything you read, people. False advertising. False advertising.
I feel like my worldview has been shattered.
I know. I was a gibbon keeper, that is true, okay. And I was the chat line operator. And you can read all about that in my new book. There, I did it! I got my thing in! Woohoo!
And I was just going to ask you, Kate, where can we find you online, and tell us where we can get your book?
Oh, well, luckily I'm quite good at SEO, so if you just type in Kate Toon, something about me should come up. And my hub site is www.katetoon.com. You can find my book there.
Can you just give us a quick overview of your book so we know what to expect?
It's basically this podcast spread over 171 pages.
Oh, okay.
It's literally, you know, how I got started. And it's kind of trying to talk to people and say it's okay to be your own kind of business owner. You don't need to have aggressively white teeth and a lapel mic and be doing TED Talks and waving your hands around to be a success.
Again, you're shattering my worldview.
Do you have aggressively white teeth? I'm going to go and Google your face now and see what you All Americans do. All Americans have wonderful teeth.
I have a face for podcasting, unfortunately. So.
No, you do not, Rob. No, you do not.
Kate, this has been an awesome interview. Thank you so much for giving us so much of your time and getting up early to chat with us. We really appreciate it.
It's been wonderful. And I'd love to have you back on the Hot Copy podcast soon, too, so we can do a swap. And because you are my second favorite copywriting podcast as well. So
it's a deal. Let's make it happen. Before we end the podcast, we just want to tell you about our sponsor, AirStory. AirStory is an application designed to help you write faster, and it does a few things really well. It makes collaborating with others on your team easier. So if you work with clients or other team members on projects, you'll love the way that you can interact within your project documents. But there are two things that we really like about AirStory that you won't get with Word or Google Docs. The first is the way that it lets you organize information into cards. If you refer to research or other information when writing blog posts or websites or sales pages, you'll love the way that you can organize bits of information or entire articles into a card file that you can then drag and drop into your document. And if you do your research online, AirStory's Chrome extension lets you cut and save information directly into AirStory. It's pretty cool. Plus, AirStory has a library of templates that you can use on different projects. So let's say that you've been hired to write a sales page or an email sequence and you don't have any experience or you want additional inspiration for the project. You can go into the template library, find a template for what you're working on, and use it to start your document. Maybe best of all, you can try it now for free. In fact, one project at AirStory is always free. If you're a professional writer, there's so much here that can help you. Check it out at airstory.co/club. You've been listening to the Copywriter Club podcast with Kira Hugg and Rob Marsh. Music for the show is a clip from Gravity by Whitest Boy Alive, available in iTunes. If you like what you've heard, you can help us spread the word by subscribing in iTunes and by leaving a review. For show notes, a full transcript, and links to our free Facebook community, visit thecopywriterclub.com. We'll see you next episode.